You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 416. Today is Sunday, August 26, 2018, and my name is Steve. No Hammy tonight, but I'm joined by Curtis. And Kurt, before we start, everybody, please help out the podcast by subscribing, write a review out on iTunes, share links on Twitter and Facebook for the show that we post. And if you don't do any of that stuff, Brian Snitker will never pinch hit for a starting pitcher again. Oh, I'm still not over not pinch hitting for Anibal Sanchez Saturday night. I just can't even. All right, Curtis, in tonight's show, we'll discuss the 5-2 week, Ozzie's slump, Dansby's resurgence, and Snitker's X's and O's. But first, a quick break. So, Curtis, so much happened this week. And let's start with the Pirates series. So, coming off the demoralizing four-game sweep at the hands of the Rockies, the Braves went on the road for three against the Pirates, a series that concerned all of us. Feels like we have not been so successful in Pittsburgh. And all they did was sweep the Pirates. And, Kurt, I want to start with the surprise call-up of Bryce Wilson. That all sort of played out on Monday, the day of that game. And he was fantastic. Five innings, three hits, shutout baseball. And he started the year in high A, Kurt. He went, it was like Gohara, you know, did the same thing. I mean, like, you don't see this much. So you happy with what you saw from Bryce Wilson?
Yeah, it's sort of hard not to be happy with him. He became the youngest pitcher on record to win his MLB debut in a 1-0 game. 20 years, 243 days old. So that's something. It's just, you know, we've talked a lot about the waves of talent that keep sort of coming up. And it's amazing how this is the third 20-year-old starter pitching. Is that right? I mean, with Howard and with Soroka and now with Wilson.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, all three of those guys are not going to end up being stars on the major league level. But to just come up, seize the opportunity and produce, it's just so much fun. So gratifying to watch it play out that way. And obviously the Braves have played 22 games in 20 days or something like that. So they're just trying to get guys rest and hope they can steal wins like this. And obviously I don't think they expect Bryce Wilson to come up and win a 1-0 game, but you tell they're trying to stretch the season out for Newcomb, probably Fulte the same, just get a spot start to some guys here and there and have those guys be fresher down the stretch here.
Yeah, and to be able to do that with a guy like Wilson and a guy like Tukey, you know, you're not expecting such great performances from guys like that who are getting called up, thrown in. They're really doing it, like you said, to stretch out the days off between starts for the regular guys. I mean, just seeing Tukey and Wilson gives me so much even more hope about the success that the team can have this year. You know, the fact that those guys are going to be up and part of the bullpen, I would think, certainly in September for sure, or maybe get some spot starts. But, you know, if they do make the playoffs, those guys should be in the bullpen, both Wilson and Tukey.
Sure.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
It was just great. I mean, all the strikes, the dude wasn't rattled. He just looked like he belonged there, just like Tukey did. I mean, it was just terrific. You mentioned the 20-year-olds, and of course, Tukey's a couple years older. But really, the only one, Kurt, that didn't just shine was Allard. And I'm not saying that Allard's, you know, not going to do it, not going to be successful, whatever. But Allard's just sort of struggled some. But Soroka was just crushing it. Tukey and Wilson's just one start apiece, but they both just look so good. God, it's just terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, I just am so happy about all the pitching. And just that whole series, Kurt, coming off. I mean, to me, like, the most important part about that Pirates series was bouncing back. You know, bad four-game sweep, two games that you could have won, blown games against the Rockies, and then you go on the road and sweep the Pirates. Just that sort of resiliency that the team shows is just huge, huge.
Yeah, and I probably was the most stressed out about the Pittsburgh series more than anybody. I mean, I thought that they were going to lose two of three going up there. And you mentioned it, but the starting pitching this week was just ridiculous.
Absurd. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Nah, I mean, that's sort of it. I mean, that the offense was not good at all, really, this weekend. I mean, this week we left lots of runners in scoring position, lots of opportunities that we sort of left on the field and lost some close games. The two that we lost, I would never suggest that we should have gone 7-0, but we could have easily gone 7-0 when your starting pitching gives up three earned runs over seven games. And when your whole pitching staff gives up six runs over seven games, you probably are going to have a good chance to win most of those games. But it's interesting how the team sort of goes in waves. You know, I mean, there's times when they explode offensively and then maybe the pitching's a little shakier. And this week it was all on the shoulders of the pitching staff, and they were exceptional.
I mean, that's the thinker. It's back to the resiliency. And maybe this doesn't work if something goes really cold, obviously, in a five-game series or a seven-game series. But over the course of the season, they just keep picking each other up. And it never gets to big going off the rails, you know, losing streaks. I mean, it's just amazing.
We should probably dedicate a part of a show to Kevin Gausman and how amazing he's been since he nondescript signing. I hate that's probably too strong, but I don't know.
Well, it wasn't exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of us were like, man, this guy's going to come over and, you know, have a one ERA for us over five games. I mean, it just, you never would have expected that. I mean, obviously the cliche of different scenery and all that kind of stuff. But, it's a miracle what they've pulled out of that guy. And, it's almost an argument now. We talked about Folty and who would be the number one starter when you go into the playoffs. I mean, Gausman's been as good as any of them.
Yeah. I mean, 13 shutout innings from Gausman this week. And it was only 13 because Snitker ended up pinch hitting for him in Sunday's finale in Miami, but it could have easily been, 16. I mean, yeah. he was dealing on Sunday. I would have not been shocked if he went. I think he was at 80 pitches, maybe through five when he got pulled. I may be misremembering. So let's call it, he goes seven shutout innings for 15 on the week. I mean, just absurd. And Tehran, seven innings of one-run ball in that Pirates series. You know, the other thing, Kurt, about the Pirates series that sort of stuck out to me was Venters got put into his highest leverage situations so far since he came back over in that. In game one of the Pirates series, the 1-0 lead, he was brought in the eighth. And then in game three, in a 2-1 game, he was brought in to save the game. I mean, say what you want about Snitker, and we're going to talk about it later, and his bullpen management. But he's doing some pretty smart things, I think, with Venters, seeing that he can do stuff, bringing him along slowly-ish, getting him into that sort of top tier of the guys in the bullpen that he can depend on. And Venters has not disappointed yet. I mean, it's just so great.
And not being afraid to throw him out there. I mean, I would think that anybody would be reticent with a guy who's had all those arm issues that, you don't want to rely on him too much that for fear that it's, that his arm is just ready to wear out again. And, he's another guy. The moves that Anthopoulos made for nothing.
For nothing. The only one that hasn't worked is Duvall.
Right.
And
of all of them, he's the one that we need the least.
Well, certainly stabilizing the starting rotation and the bullpen. Yeah. those two that hit, it's certainly been more impactful. than a good right-handed bat. Yeah, just amazing. Yeah, Anthopoulos really just hit two home runs, really.
Yeah, there more stats from this starting pitching from this week. 0.63 ERA, 3 earned runs over 42.2 innings, 18 hits, 14 walks, 38 strikeouts, no homers.
No homers. How about that?
And it's not that, I mean, you know, it's not the Yankees and the Red Sox, but it's still two Major League Baseball teams.
On the road, no less. Yeah. I hear you, man. All right. So staying on the road, on to Miami. So for 2 days, the ability to get hits with runners in scoring position and to score runs in general just disappeared. But like you said, the starting pitching remained amazing. 6 shutout from Newcomb, 6 one run from Folty, Sanchez with 5 2/3 one run baseball before leaving with that hamstring tightness. And then Gausman on Sunday, like we talked about. And frankly, Gausman looked as good or better than anyone in the Miami series. I mean, Gausman's just got everything going. So, all right. So look, the ability to get that big hit eluded the team, surely, in Miami. But really only Friday's game, where Chen just, like, you know, befuddled the entire lineup. You know, the Braves only mustered 3 hits in that game. But every other game, I mean, they won 5-0. On Thursday, and then Saturday and Sunday's games, the team recorded 9 hits in each game. I guess my point is, like, I'm not particularly worried that all of a sudden the offense is in a big funk. Really, they're getting hits, you know. And I mean, Acuna hasn't stopped hitting at all. He was 6 for 17 with 2 doubles and a home run and a stolen base in the Florida series.
He's good.
God, he's good. You know, they win on Sunday with nothing from Freeman, very little from Markakis, very little from Camargo.
Like Ozzie benched.
Ozzie benched, a very good move from Snitker. He needs a rest. And look, it was a strange way that a 5-2 week gets put together. When you're 4-0 and you're playing the lowly, pathetic Marlins, and you're thinking, well, 6 games, easy. But still, look, huge to win the finale. If they had lost Sunday's game, the whole week feels different. 4-3 does not feel good. They lose a game in the standings, the whole thing. Pulling out the final game and getting and splitting in Florida, it's just more of the team figures out a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the tenor is totally different if you lose 3 or 4 to Miami. The sweep of Pittsburgh, which was so great coming off of the Colorado disaster, sort of would have gotten washed away if you lose 3 or 4 to Miami. But pulling the game out today, and frankly, again, to go back to it, the way the starting pitching looked so great this week, that's all positive signs. You're going to go through some ruts in the offense like this at times. And yeah, you know, I mean, you have to give credit to their guys too. They pitched well. So, but yeah, I mean, you're right. You come back 5-2, you, what did you make? I think you included that we made up that we picked up 2.5 games this week.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, remember we were shocked after the Colorado series that the Braves were still up 0.5 game and it's 3.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the Phillies and the Nationals both won on Sunday after both losing on Friday and Saturday. So those 2 losses in Florida did not impact the standings, but it did, you know, it did scratch a couple more days off the calendar, which is important at this point.
Right. Sure.
The Phillies lost a couple of heartbreakers this past week because their bullpen is getting leaky. So that's all good. The Nats are just a mess. I mean, they went 3 games without scoring a run. Then they score 15 runs on Sunday, but lose. I haven't seen anything. We're recording this Sunday night. But Kelvin Herrera was, like, carted off with a leg injury.
Yeesh, I didn't see that.
In Sunday's game. So, you know, things just continue to fall apart for the Nationals.
Right, and Daniel Murphy, I forget who else they traded.
Daniel Murphy and Matt Adams, who was a shame, didn't come to the Braves. But, yes,
big city.
Matt Adams, big city. Back to
St. Louis.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Curtis, it's time for a new game.
Sorry, real quick.
Of course.
Just one totally off our reservation here. Why not trade Bryce Harper?
Well, because the Nationals front office screwed up that whole thing.
I guess they legitimately thought that they had a chance, given the age, the youth of the Braves and the Phillies, that they would somehow get it back together and potentially push for the East. But it's insane that they did not take the opportunity. And even if you're not going to get much out of Bryce Harper, and they were the. I don't know if people saw it, but the Dodgers did claim Bryce Harper and the Nationals pulled him back. And I'm assuming it's because the Dodgers really were not going to offer anything given the situation that Bryce Harper is in with the Nationals, and that the Nationals figure that they get more value out of the compensatory pick that they would get in the first round for whoever signs Bryce Harper, which also you're basically admitting that you're not re-signing him. So. Sorry, I think it's insane that they didn't.
Yeah, or move. Ownership believes, look, by not moving him this year, we're going to build a stronger relationship, and it's going to keep us in good stead as we try to re-sign him. I don't get it, man. I think they should have moved him at the trade deadline. I mean, I really think they should have, but that is a them problem,
right?
As they say. All right, so Curtis, back to the new game, big deal or small deal? So I'm going to discuss a trend or a headline. You tell me if you think it's a big deal or not. And first up, you alluded to it, Ozzie Albies. So another thing that happened this week at the start of the Pirates series was he was dropped out of the two-hole down to the six, where he remained all week. So, Kurt, over the 32 games he's played since the All-Star break, he's slashing .237, .274, .297. In the last 10 games, not counting Sunday's finale, the last 10 games that started with that Colorado series, the slash line is just dreadful. It's .179, .238, .179. So that's 7 for 39, Kurt, 2 walks, no extra base hits, 10 strikeouts in 30 at-bats. So, sorry, in 39. So, big deal or small deal here with Ozzie?
I'm sort of leaning toward big deal on him. It's almost as if he feels like every hit needs to be an extra base hit. It seems like he's really swinging out of his shoes a lot.
His plate discipline has gone out the window.
Yeah. And with a guy like that, with his speed and everything else, you know, maybe just start trying getting on base, maybe lay some bunts down, maybe just whatever sort of change up the dynamic of what you're doing. I was looking at a stat, and it's called base out runs added. I don't know if you're familiar with this. I mean, there's so many stats now, but basically it's like hockey. It's a, you know, plus minus, a score that you're attributed given the bases occupied, the out situation, how many runs did the batter or base runner add in the resulting play, and zero is average. So in the month of August, his number was minus .519. So not only is he slumping, but it's really unproductive. You know, I mean, he's doing nothing really to help the team. In fact, that number would sort of lend itself to you believe that he's hurting the team with his approach right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Braves are 20-13 in the 33 games since the All-Star break. So the team is dealing with it, right? The offense is covering it, but the team needs his dynamic bat and the base running. I mean, thinking toward the playoffs, this team will not be the threat that it can be if Ozzie does not get back on track.
Yeah, I mean, you thought about the when Acuna and he and obviously Freddie and Markakis, you know, the Mets, I forget which reliever it was, but he was talking about, well, you got to deal with Freeman and you got to deal with Markakis. But really now you have to, there's so much more emphasis on these two guys at the top, meaning Acuna and Albies, and how that takes so much of your attention now too, because they're so spirited and everything like that. And, you know, for that, you're right. For that component to be missing from this equation is big.
Yeah. All right, so Curtis, not counting Sunday's finale in Miami, dating back to August 11th, that was the second game in that home series was with Milwaukee, Dansby Swanson is slashing .311, .347, .689, five homers, two doubles, OPSing over 1,000. So Dansby's bat, big deal or small deal?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, you know, Dansby is almost one of those offensive pieces now where any contribution you're thrilled with, and for it to be really productive, what he's contributing, that same number that I just mentioned, base out runs added, since the Miami, the last Miami series in Atlanta, his is 6.95. So that's very productive,
yeah,
given the situations he's in. His BABIP is not crazy high. It's .308. So it's legit, you know, and it's power. I mean, he destroyed that ball that he hit last night.
That ball Saturday night. I mean, just so great to get the comparison of that it landed essentially in the same spot as Acuna's mammoth blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, I mean, I've never seen him crush a ball. I think he said post-game that he's never hit a home run that far.
Yeah, yeah.
So good. And then his multi-homer game in the Pirates series.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a guy that basically is at the bottom of our lineup, and for you to be getting that out of the 7-8 hole, whatever he's, you know, kind of sitting in, it's amazing. I mean, just to lengthen out that lineup, make the pitchers work harder. There's no sort of gimmies at the bottom of the lineup. It's fun. It's a great addition.
If it's for real, it is massive. I mean, just enormous to get that defense from him, but for him to start to discover his offense. All right. So Curtis, Gausman's getting all the pub, as he well should, but Julio has now put three really impressive starts together in a row, a 6-inning start followed by two consecutive 7-inning starts. And his slash line in those three starts is 109, 194, 156. I'm pretty sure when one start all those things in your slash line, it's really good. Four earned runs, only one homer over those three starts, too. Of course,
that's the key right there.
Yeah, exactly. So big deal or small deal for Julio?
Well, I mean, Julio's is always you know, Charlie Banner on the football. Every time you want to think it's there and you want to swing away, kick away, it seems it gets jerked away from you. But he's obviously a huge part of this. You can't do this without Julio, especially when you're going into the postseason. If you can be four deep with your starting pitching, it makes all the difference in the world. And so to be able to throw this Julio out there, you know, I mean, it's a huge component of this whole operation. And obviously this week he was great, just like everybody else. And maybe it's often a time where one guy sort of get rolling and the next guy wants to outduel the guy that pitched before him. So that might be, but whatever it is, it's great. It's a great run that he's on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I want to believe it so badly, but I'm with you. It's hard. He's just been so inconsistent, not just this year, but for the last few years. It seems like when Julio bears down, when you see that look on his face where he's really sort of concentrating, and then when he literally keeps the ball down, he's amazing. I mean, he's elite, you know? I look at Julio and I'm starting to look at everything through the lens of the playoffs, you know, and of the five guys right now in the rotation, if Julio stays like this, right? I mean, I'm seeing the order Folty, Gausman, Julio, again, if he keeps this up, and then Newcomb, Sanchez, depending on how they finish. But if Folty, Gausman, and Julio, the three of them are pitching like they've been pitching, that's for real, Kurt.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's no joke.
And I mean, it even goes back a little farther than that. He had that terrible game against Miami, but you know, you go back to I'm trying to count this in my head. It's in the last eight starts, he's really only had one really, really bad start. I mean, some of these are short, five innings and whatnot, but it's almost like we just come to expect that from Braves starters. But, you know, there was Toronto, one earned run, Arizona, zero. And then that blip against Miami, then another start against Miami with three, New York Mets three, Milwaukee one, Colorado two, Pittsburgh one. So, you know, I mean, it's been a pretty decent run for a while there. But it's all everything with Julio is the base on balls and the homers. I mean, that's what gets him into trouble every single time. And if he keeps that stuff down, keeps the ball in the ballpark, he's a totally different pitcher.
Yeah, and a good one at that. All right, so Curtis, we and really the rest of humanity, I'd say, have shaken our heads at some of Snitker's in-game moves over these last couple of years. And there were three that really got me this week. So first up, the day after he was activated, Snitker brought Sam Freeman in a one-run game, the Folty game. Freeman in a one-run game, just back off the DL. And it worked out, but seriously, I mean, what the hell?
He is in love with Sam Freeman.
He is. And I know he watches the games because he's there in the dugout every night.
Are we sure about that?
I don't know. It seems weird. Okay, and then there's the pinch hitting from this weekend in the Florida series. So first up, scoreless game on Saturday. The Braves haven't scored at that point in 18 innings. There's two on, two out, and he keeps Anibal Sanchez in. A pitcher who's 0 for 29 with 20 strikeouts at the time, Kurt. And they've not scored a run in 18 innings. Okay? And then he comes back out. Of course, he strikes out, comes back out, gives up a triple. And the Braves lose that game. And then in the Sunday finale, Gausman, who's one hitting the Marlins, and the Braves have a lead of 1-0, and Snitker does pinch hit for him. I mean, really, it's the exact opposite of what I've done.
Well, maybe he learned his lesson from the Sanchez.
Well, sure, and I get it, but I also don't want him being like, no, you know, that didn't seem to work. I mean, like look at the situation. I just don't get it. So back to the lens of the playoffs, Kurt. Is this a big deal or a small deal, his in-game adjustments?
Well, as everyone knows who follows baseball, everything is magnified in the postseason. It's every decision. It's an error. It's whatever it might be. You know, I mean, you cannot give teams opportunities that they don't earn. I think it's a legitimate concern that he will make some crazy decision like this and it ends up costing a game, which in the postseason that could be the end of your season, you know. I think all these guys have their nuances and they all have their just second guessing decisions, and for whatever reason the tree from Bobby Cox, their bullpen management has always been atrocious, but including Bobby. I think it's a legit big deal.
I mean, I was sitting there Saturday night when he didn't pinch hit for Anibal. I'm thinking to myself, aren't Walt Weiss and Sal Fasano like tapping him on the shoulder and going, really, Skip? Are you sure you don't? Like, you know, they should be there, and I'm sure they are. Right? I'm sure that they provide checks and balances for him, but yeesh, I hope that they speak up a little more in some questionable moments in the playoffs or something, because it concerns me. All right, Curtis, speaking of the playoffs, it's time for the postseason hope meter.
Oh-ho!
We're on a scale of 1 to 10. We give our rating on how likely we think it is that the Braves will make it to the postseason. Ham is up to a 7 now. Curtis, I'm just going to tell you now, after this week, I am absolutely convinced that they're going to the playoffs. I'm a 10. I just believe, you know, holes are starting to, you know, cracks are starting to appear with the Phillies. The Braves have figured some stuff out. I just think it's their year and they're going.
Yeah, I'm definitely headed in the right direction. I think I'm even up to a 7 now. Right now the projections for them to win the division is 61.3%. The projections for them to make the postseason is 67.7%. And I'm not prescient or anything like that, but I felt like if we could sort of get back in front of the Phillies, that they might come apart once they fell into second place again. And I mean, there's a lot of pressure once you've you fall back in. You know that, I mean, you're sort of trying to win every single game, and they had a bad week, and it seemed like it's sort of getting to them, like you said. So yeah, I'm up to a 7, which is the kiss of death, and they'll lose every game this week. So,
all right, well, we'll forget you said that, and we're going to move on to Shot in the Dark. But first, a quick break. All right, Curtis, Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just ended, and we'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from Captain Tamerica, who predicted that Acuna and Freddie would both homer 3 times against the Marlins, including a leadoff homer by Acuna. And not quite. 0 homers for Freddie in the Miami series and only 1 for Acuna. I know, it's very exciting. Okay, so I'm going to look at mine. So we'll look at what we did. So I predicted that the Braves bullpen would give up no more than 3 earned runs all week. And that was exactly what happened. 3 earned from the bullpen. And I hadn't looked at the starters, Kurt, but you mentioned it a couple of times. So 3 earned from the starters this week. And
yeah.
3 earned from the bullpen this week.
Yeah.
And you
Something
know,
else.
And can you, well, whatever. I'm not going to quiz you. It would all 3 earned came from Sobotka.
Is that right?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And he's been good. I'm not like trashing Sobotka because I think that he can really be a piece too. All right. Hammy predicted that Acuna would hit 3 homers against the Marlins. Only 1, as we just mentioned. And Kurt, you predicted the Pirates would outscore the Braves by 12 and the Braves would outscore the Marlins by 16. You really were just wrong in all sorts of ways here.
Yeah, I should stop making these up as the words are coming out of my mouth.
All right, so 9 runs for the Braves, 2 runs for the Pirates in that series, 10 runs for the Braves, 4 runs for the Marlins in Florida. All right, so, Curtis, I won this week. You have a win. We are tied heading into the final week. So
nice. Do you need another koozie, or you set?
I want another one.
All right.
I love when you have to drive over to my house and deliver it to me. all right. So Hammy's predicting that Ozzy breaks out of his slump and hits over 300 with 5 extra base hits. I'm going to go 4 homers combined from Dansby and Camargo this week. Curtis, what do you got?
I think mine, this might be the craziest one I've gone with all season long. Adam Duvall hits his first homer as a Brave.
Oh, that's just silly.
It's bonkers.
All right, folks. Remember, you get to play each week, 2. Don't forget to get your Shot in the Dark in before first pitch on Tuesday this week. Monday's an off day. Send it in via Twitter if we pick yours, and we'll discuss it on next week's show. And if you hit it exactly, an ABT koozie will be yours. So, Curtis, let's look at the week ahead. There's an actual day off this week, so only 6 games, all at home, but 3 teams, 2 with the Rays, a makeup with the Cubs, and then 3 with the Pirates. So let's look at the pitching matchup. So starting with the Rays, who happen to be the hottest team in baseball and the first to sweep the Red Sox this season. So, of course, we're catching them at the right time. Tehran will face Ryan Stanek and his 253. Newcomb will face Tyler Glasnow and his 418. For that 1 Cubs game, Folty will get Quintana and his 433. For the Pirates series, now again, I don't know that I believe all of these Braves starters because we could get another spot start this week just to stretch everybody out, but we'll see. With an off day, maybe not. So Sanchez will face Jameson Taillon and his 349. Gausman gets Chris Archer, which, remember, we were going to get the Gausman-Chris Archer matchup last week until the Bryce Wilson thing happened. But Gausman's supposed to face Chris Archer and his 472. And then finishing up the week, Tehran versus Ivan Nova and his 420. So, Curtis, what do you think happens this week?
4-2. 1-1, beat the Cubs, 2-1 against Pittsburgh.
That is exactly what I have. That's exactly what I think will happen as well. And, yeah, and then after that, the Red Sox come in for 3.
Gooch.
I know. Let's just win 1. You know what I mean? The Red Sox are – it's a whole different planet.
They won 90 games yet?
I think they just hit 80, like, this week. But, Yeah, you know. But let's take care of business this week. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker.
It was 90.
Was it 90? Okay, I was thinking.
Yeah, they're 90 and 42.
So insane. God. As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.
Had to admit the problem.